N95 masks.
N95 masks. What do they do?
They're like they're the better particulate masks. They have like different ratings for masks.
Would this protect me against the coronavirus going around?
I mean, I don't really have any details, but it'll do better than the breathing. Like the shittiest masks. Like yeah. You need to. These are more expensive. You need to have the more expensive ones.
Okay. What's up, freaks? Matt came with gifts today. He brought me a particulate respirator N95 mask.
Well, I have like a bunch of them at home, so just in case.
You know what? You can never be too safe.
Yeah. I mean, I think this whole corona thing is kind of bullshit, right?
They're shutting down big cities, man.
It's got a good name.
Yeah, it does.
Coronavirus.
Yeah.
It just makes you want to drink a beer. Even though I don't really love Coronas. Maybe the lime in the right situation.
I'm a big Corona guy in the summer.
With a lime?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't mind it straight either.
You need to have it with lime.
Yeah, Corona Extra too. Those Corona Extras will sneak up on you though. Be careful if you're drinking the extras out there, freaks.
It's pretty crazy that Wuhan, am I pronouncing it right?
I believe so. 11 million
city,
people.
11 million people, yeah.
Yeah, they shut down two other cities too.
Bigger than New York City.
Yeah.
Imagine New York City got shut down from leaving and entering.
Would they be able to do that here, do you think?
I don't know. That's never happened, right?
Well, wasn't the New York City Police Department like the second biggest standing army?
Oh, no, but it's like
top five.
It's like top, yeah, it's like six or seven.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, they could cut Manhattan off pretty easily. You just block the bridges.
Yeah.
They could cut Long Island off. They could cut Staten Island off pretty easily.
We're lucky in Brooklyn.
The Bronx would be hard.
Yeah. You just start walking north.
I don't think they've ever done it.
Well, let's hope they don't.
Yeah. That'd be chaos.
I'm thinking of I Am Legend right now. But yeah, is it
I Am Legend. My favorite part of I Am Legend was the like overgrown New York.
Right?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, is the coronavirus just another Ebola scare, swine flu scare?
Is it bullish for Bitcoin?
I don't know. People were pushing that narrative.
Well, you know,
it was bearish, right?
Well, you can't. It's hard to spend cash in a hazmat suit, but it's easier to spend Bitcoin.
That's a very good point.
There you go.
You shouldn't be laughing about this. Is it serious? Are people dying? You know, 18 deaths so far. A lot of people.
It's probably more though, right?
I would imagine.
I don't really trust the Chinese government numbers.
Yeah, they've known to fudge some numbers in the past. Yeah, but I saw a video of like in one airport, they put some dude in a box.
How crazy was that? Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it looked like they had just invented that box like 2 years ago, yeah. Right?
Could you imagine being in that box though?
Yeah.
Would you get in the box?
Did you see Luke Martin posted? He was like, if the guy in the box started shooting a Periscope video, that would be like, it would win the internet.
It's so true. I bet he made a TikTok. Yeah, it was a nice little 3-minute ad lib there to open it up. Let me pull up Clark Moody's dashboard.
Do we have any shout outs today?
I don't believe we do. Let me check.
It'd be kind of cool if we did our shout outs before the ad read.
Yeah, let me see if we got any. I'm checking PTC.
I'm like torn whether or not it's good before or after.
Good as long as we get in there. Yeah, I don't think we have any shout outs, unfortunately. Freaks don't have anything to say this week.
I pointed one of my domains at Clark's website.
Which one?
Bitcoinstats.co.
Bitcoinstats.co. If you go there right now, you're not going to get the same price that I'm about to read because it'll be an hour after I've read it, or many hours after I've read it. But right now, the price, according to Clark Moody's Bitcoin dashboard, is $8,339. Sats per dollar is at 11,000 or 985, approaching 12,000 sats per dollar. What else are we looking at here? Tor stats. Tor nodes for the Lightning Network are making 39.3%. I believe that's about where it was last week when we met here, when we congregated here on the airwaves. What else are we looking at
here?
It's
up a little bit, it seems.
Yeah, it's up a little bit. Yeah, and he added a... He had a node count too. So Satoshi version, core version 0.18.0 is the most downloaded implementation of core right now. Behind that's 18.1, 19.0, 0.19.0.1 is after that, and then it falls behind there. The site is just growing every week. I feel like Clark is a beast mode again right now.
Yeah, he just keeps adding.
Yeah.
I also liked he added the forward-looking block, predicted next block. category, yeah. which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not really useful for a shout out on the pod, but no. I like that category.
I do too. Fees versus subsidy. Fees are making up 0.95% of the next block
cool
predicted.
Stat.
Need to pump those numbers at some point.
Run a tour node.
We're going to get to some cool.
Let's break 40%.
We're almost there.
By next episode.
Almost there. Before we get there, let's get these ads out of the way, freaks. And actually, after this Cash App ad, we'll make you abreast of something that's going on here. Tales from the Crypt is brought to you by the Cash App. As you know, Cash App is the simplest way to send and save money and buy Bitcoin. And now it's the simplest way to try to grow your money, introducing Cash App Investing. Unlike investing tools that only let you buy entire shares of stock, Cash App lets you instantly invest as little or as much as you want to in any stock that you want. This way, when your favorite company's stock is just a little too expensive, you can own as little as $1. Because Cash App is directly connected to your bank account, there's no 4 to 5 day waiting periods for inbound transfers, so you can start investing or stacking sats today. Brokerage services are provided by Cash App Investing, a subsidiary of Square, a member SIPC. As always, use the code STACKINGSATS when you sign up. You're going to get $10, and Cash App is going to send you $10. Not you. You're going to get $10 if you use the code STACKINGSATS, and then Cash App's not going to send you another $10. They're going to send $10 to our good friends at Owls Lacrosse. Yeah, and if you freaks are listening to this episode now, you may have noticed the new album cover.
Are we gonna actually put it on for this episode?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna put it in. Yeah, Cash App. I know some of you freaks are gonna freak out. I think we've been bought by the man. We've got presented by Cash App on the album artwork. I can assure you. We are not sellouts. We definitely have sold ad space for money, but we have a cool new logo, a nice little drip, and I think we're gonna switch it up every 6 months.
I really like the 6 months idea.
Yeah. So yeah, Cash App. Lucky to have them on for the whole year as a sponsor.
Yeah. So let us know what you think of our new album art.
Yeah.
I mean, our previous album art, I think Marty created in like Microsoft Paint or something.
Yeah. It wasn't me. Yeah. It was actually a shout out to Joe Smaldone from Barstool Sports. He made it for us years ago when we first started this podcast, this humble beginning. I'm going to miss the old album artwork. I'm not going to lie, though, it wasn't my favorite aesthetic.
We can do things with it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. It's
it'll always have a special place in our hearts. Yes. I really like the six-month idea. But anyway, freaks, let us know what you think of the new
album artwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope you dig it.
This episode of Tales from Crypt is also brought to you by Unchained Capital. You already know all about them. They're creating financial services for Bitcoiners. And their service is revolved around custody, collaborative custody, and multi-sig. They have their Vault program. It allows you to engage in multi-sig quorum with Unchained. You can ask them to sign a transaction for you if need be. If not, you can sign it off yourself. On top of that, they have their loan programs where you can use Bitcoin as collateral to get US dollar loans if you don't want to sell your Bitcoin and get some liquidity right now. Friends, don't let friends sell Bitcoin. So Unchained is there to help you not sell your Bitcoin by taking out a collateralized loan. And then on top of that, they're doing dope stuff on the open source front, obviously with Caravan, which is their open source desktop app for their multisig quorum. So if you don't even want to include Unchained in the multisig quorum that they've created themselves, you can download Caravan and do that yourself without Unchained. They've open sourced that solution for you freaks. And on top of that, they're working on other stuff like Slip39, Hermit, great content in the form of their blog. Dhruv, Joe, Parker Lewis are putting out some great content. So go check them out at www.unchained-capital.com. www.unchained-capital.com. We got dinner last night, and I was like, RHR tomorrow. What do we got on board? You were like, slow news week. It's the longest list I've seen in a month.
That was a great dinner. Do we have no shout-outs?
No shout-outs.
No shout-outs this week. I have a shout-out. We're trying to coordinate a Bitcoin Citadel workshop in San Francisco leading up to Bitcoin 2020, which both me and Marty are going to be participating in Bitcoin 2020, so you should get tickets if you haven't already. So if you have a business or some kind of event space available for us to run that workshop, like about like 20 people, maybe like 20 to 30 people, please reach out to me. We would appreciate that.
You San Fran freaks, excuse me, San Fran's not kosher if you're in SF. USF freaks, You're not allowed to say San Fran. It's uncouth.
Is it uncouth?
The losers say San Fran.
Oh, and the other thing is that would be on the Thursday before the conference in the morning, ideally, like 10 to 12 in the morning. What's the Thursday before the conference?
22nd.
Is that it? The 20th. It's not working. The 26th.
Okay, 26th.
Not March 26th.
I'm way off. Another shout-out. Shout-out conferences here. The team at Advancing Bitcoin reached out. So if you guys are in London looking to go to a dope technical Bitcoin conference with a lot of good information, Advancing Bitcoin is happening in London. Let me find the date here. Exactly. I think it's the beginning of February.
It looks pretty boss.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of...
It's a two-day technical. And I think last year was the first or second annual. It's in London 6th and 7th of February this year. So a couple weeks from now. If you're in London, you want to get some good technical coverage of Bitcoin. This is the conference for you, Advancing Bitcoin. Go check it out at advancingbitcoin.com.
Yeah, and then like the London Bitcoin devs... are throwing a good meetup around then too.
Is that like Michael Folkeson?
Yeah, Michael Folkeson.
Folkeson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, if you do make it out there, you should definitely go to that as well. I'm sure that's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Shout out to the Advancing Bitcoin team. All right, let's get into the list here. Big one. Ronin Dojo V1.2 is out. What's going on with the new, just a better UI? We get dark mode?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But they updated it.
Yeah.
So I put it there. Ronin is a great way to run your own dojo on either an Odroid or a Raspberry Pi. So it's probably the easiest way to get started on Dojo.
Yeah. So it comes with Whirlpool client CLI version 0.10.2, Dojo 1.4.1, excuse me. Enhanced menu options for Dojo, IBD transfer scripts, added backup drive script. Temporary removal of Electris. How do you say it?
It's Electrum server, yeah.
Yeah, Electrum
but
server.
It's Electrum Rust server. Yeah. Electris.
Yeah, and then general fixes.
Yeah, so it's basically they updated all the packages.
Yeah, well, while we have Electrum server on here, let's just transition straight to the BTC Pay Vault. I think that's a good transition there.
Well, at first, my node also updated, which is probably the second easiest way to run a dojo.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the added bonus there. I don't think they've added Dojo yet, but they added BTC Pay and they added Whirlpool. And there's already LND is there and it all runs through Tor by default. Yeah, you have your Mempool Explorer. So it's more fully functional. And I am going to set up a MyNode soon. Apologies, I haven't yet. And there'll be some videos on that as well.
Now, huge shout out to the MyNode team. It's two guys, right?
I know it's at least one dude.
Yeah.
But they have contributors too. There's like open source contributors.
That guy's down in Alabama, right?
Not sure. Try not to find people's.
I think he has it on his Twitter profile. At least that's what he's saying.
But yeah, MyNode seems like.
So legit, they're adding
great fucking projects.
Looks like a good out of the box plug and play, click and drag.
Yeah, you get Lightning. You get Samurai support, so you can do mixing.
Yeah, and I think
you get Electrum support, so you can easily do hardware wallets or through a Wasabi.
And what's the hardware?
You have LND for Lightning. BTC Pay they have now.
It's like $180 worth of hardware needed, right?
Yeah, if maybe a little bit less.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the Raspberry Pi is like $50.
Yeah.
Then the SSD is like $90, so that's like $150.
Yeah.
And then plus, because you need enclosures and stuff like that, and an SD card. So it's like, yeah, you're probably right. Like, what'd you say, 180?
Yeah, about 180.
Yeah, and then, but then there's some things that are only behind their premium where you have to then pay them another $100. But what's good is it looks like Whirlpool Dojo and BTC Pay will not be behind the premium.
That sounds like it's worth it, though. It's a good way to, it's a good monetization path. It's a
good way to support them.
Yeah.
Still pretty cheap.
Yeah.
No, yeah. You got like your hub for a global financial network. You know, I could pay them $100.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal. So shout out to the MyNode team. And then back to the BTC Pay Vault. This is actually big, something I've been waiting for.
Huge.
Because if you have been using BTC Pay with a hardware wallet and you don't have Electrum server hooked up, you know that when you create a bunch of invoices, the BTC Pay just goes down your XPub and just starts picking addresses, and people don't pay invoices in a row, which is not going to happen. It would just be too perfect if every next address in your XPub was an invoice that got paid.
In reality, there's like 20, 30, 40, right?
Yeah. There's like 40. It jumps like 40 addresses down. A bunch of invoices go unpaid. So what happens is you'll go and you'll plug your hardware wallet in. You'll see on BTC Pay that your wallet has Bitcoin in it, and then you'll go plug your hardware wallet. If it's Trezor, go to Trezor Bridge, and it will look like your Bitcoin's not there. But what you need to do is set up Electrum server.
Because of the gap limit.
Yes, you have to jump forward, gap forward.
Which is how many addresses they're watching that haven't been spent.
Yes. So it is, like, if you don't understand the gap limit stuff, it is scary. You're like, holy shit, where's the Bitcoin? It's not here.
So now BTC Pay has their own solution to basically accessing hardware wallets with your own full node.
Yes, so it's like a desktop app.
Is it an app?
I believe so, yeah.
You haven't tried it yet?
I haven't tried. I was just read it. Yeah, it's
neither have I. But it looks like a big deal, and it just goes to show like BTC Pay is really evolving as a full software stack.
Yeah.
Because this is useful for people that aren't just merchants. Like, you can run BTC Pay and then run BTC Pay Vault just to access your hardware wallets as an individual.
Yeah. So here's what they say in layman words. BTC Pay Vault is a separate app locally hosted on your PC, which BTC Pay server connects to and asks for permission. Once permission is granted, BTC Pay is able to integrate with any hardware wallet connected to your PC. You can import your wallet and spend incoming funds with a simple confirmation on your device, with your keys never leaving your hardware device, with all funds being validated against your own Bitcoin full node and no data leakage.
Yeah, you get privacy improvement, and you're actually validating the Bitcoin you receive.
Yeah. It's all coming together, awesome, man. Slowly but surely.
That's huge, yeah.
Right? Closing the loop. And this is another cool thing that came out. It's in testing and only on testnet now, but our good friend 6102, is it underscore Bitcoin?
No, it's at 6102 Bitcoin.
At 6102 Bitcoin. Is coming out this product called TX Cast. It's
not really a product, project.
Project, yeah. It's a script that allows you to basically delay the broadcasting of your transaction to help break timing analysis.
Yeah, so timing analysis keeps me up at night.
Why?
Both literally and figuratively. Once you go down the timing analysis rabbit hole, you really start to freak out about Bitcoin privacy and like using Bitcoin privately. So, I mean, you see it a lot with, specifically with CoinJoin, with these new Charmian CoinJoins, Whirlpool and Wasabi. Basically, you have all these outputs afterwards, and you know you don't want to combine them, because if you combine them, you link them and you potentially reduce the effectiveness of the... You will reduce the effectiveness of the mix that you just went through. And they can possibly get linked back to you. But if you are sending them to cold storage, simply sending them as individual UTXOs isn't good enough, because if you have 10 UTXOs there and you send all 10 UTXOs within a two-minute period...
they're going to be in the same block.
Right. And if you're only sending your UTXOs like in the morning Eastern time, then like you're probably... like on the East Coast of the United States, right? So there's all these things you have to keep in mind in terms of that. And what happens is it becomes like a very time-consuming process where now you are up at 2 in the morning sending one UTXO, you know, just because you got to do it like... And you can't do it like every hour or every 2 hours, because then if there's patterns emerge, there's a possibility someone could end up gleaning information from it. So the idea of this is that you put in already signed transactions... from any wallet, whether that's Electrum or Wasabi or Samurai, and then you set like a time period, and it's supposed to randomly send them out across that time period through Tor to Blockstream, because Blockstream has an API where they then broadcast it. So not only would it not be linked to your IP, but it should break timing analysis.
Yes.
And it'd be great to see this actually like built into... like Samurai would be fucking awesome. Like built into wallets. Wallets should have the ability to stage transactions. Like every wallet, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Let's give a Let's give a big shout out to 6102
Bitcoin. I love 6102.
This is the man. I don't know if he's a man. I'm assuming he is. That gets shit done. He's got his.
Could be a lady.
Bitcoin-intro.com, correct?
Bitcoin-intro.com, Bitcoin-only.com. And my personal favorite is Bitcoin-only.com/#privacy, which I think is like the best single page resource for privacy. Because it links to a bunch of other that are really good resources for privacy, but it's just very well done. So that's the link I always direct people to when they want more information about Bitcoin.
Yeah, 6102, living the if not me, then who lifestyle out there. TXCast is his first coding project, I believe. I don't think he's ever coded.
Or one of the first.
One of the first,
he says he's. Yeah, so go out, test it. It's on testnet right now. So you get some testnet Bitcoin.
Yeah, he's looking for help.
And fuck around.
And that's a new project out there.
And be aware of timing analysis.
Yes, be aware of that. Got a couple updates here. LND version 0.9 beta.
That's multipath payments and key send.
Pretty big.
Which are both pretty big.
Yeah.
So key send is like you can send a payment to just a pub key instead of needing an invoice.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like the invoices on Lightning.
I love them.
But you get both options. Anyway, you get both options. And then they have that liquidity management we were talking about where you can basically send it. Oh, you stay on Lightning and you just send it from one channel. It goes through a couple hops and then comes back through another channel. So routing nodes can balance out better without actually having to go on chain, which I thought was pretty cool. And then multipath payments are pretty self-explanatory. Payments can split up and take multiple paths.
Another big thing in this update too is the Macaroon Bakery.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. That's huge.
Yeah,
so this we've been talking about that for a minute.
Yeah, this enables you to create macaroons that can define permissions. That was one of the big problems with macaroons up to this point. Is sort of leaky, not very good security wise. So they
macaroons up until this point was basically the application either had full access to your wallet. Or it was just watch only. There was no middle ground.
Yeah.
So basically, like ideally, we want to have like a permission system where you could be like, this macaroon allows you to spend up to $200
a
day or this website only or whatever. So we can isolate it. Because right now, like you connect from your phone to your home node and like all your funds are at risk through your phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So this is a big upgrade too. Shout out to the LND team for pushing that forward. It just allows more granularity in your permissions when you're using Lightning on the web.
And then our boy Evan updated Zeus. We got Zeus 0.2.0. He added C Lightning support, which is pretty big.
That is big. Is that the only
big thing? No, he added a bunch of things. You could set channels fees all at once or channel by channel, which is what I love about RTL. Shout out RTL. Fee report, LNURL URL withdraws and pay support. So he added LNURL support.
Yeah.
Which is pretty.
This isn't on the list, but the fact that you just said pay made me think of that app pay.
We should talk about that. Don't use pay.
Yeah. Apparently they're not giving people as much Bitcoin as was originally advertised.
I mean, that's not my issue with it is their privacy policy. We never talk about it because I don't want to give them airtime. And I like only talked about them on Twitter, like right in the beginning. I tested out the app. It's one of these apps where you get sats back, but instead, you know, the three main big ones are Fold, Lolly, and Pay. They all have different models. And Pay's model is you link your credit card and you download the phone app. And it automatically, when you spend on your credit card at select merchants, you get sats back. And the biggest issue I have with them is their privacy policy is fucking horrible. They're absolutely collecting a shit ton of data and selling it. And they like force location permissions on your phone. Like the app becomes unusable if you try and block the location permissions. So it's like, that's like an ultimate thing with privacy. And then, yeah, the rates are, they give you like nothing. So like, don't sell your privacy for like sats, just like,
yeah, well that's
fractions of a sat.
That's why I like Fold's model too.
I think Fold's my favorite now.
Yeah. The gift card. Gift card gives you privacy and you get sats back with that.
Right.
You buy gift cards with a credit card or a debit card.
Right. Lolly uses an extension. Or you can do it through their website where you buy it, like you have to link through their website if you don't have the extension. And then Fold's model is they either sell you gift cards for Lightning or credit card, and they give you cash back. And that's really nice from like a privacy point of view, because your credit, Fold knows what you're buying, but your credit card company doesn't know what you're buying. They just see a Fold.
Yeah.
And if you buy with Lightning, you can actually use Fold without an account.
Which is pretty crazy.
Just use it completely accountless. That's, which is like fucking slick.
I used Fold to top up a $50 Amazon gift card with Lightning.
They have Amazon, so you can literally buy anything through that.
Yeah.
And then you get sats back. Even if you pay with Bitcoin, you get sats back. Yeah. Credit card or Bitcoin.
Yeah. So shout out to Lucy. I believe Lolly's coming out with an app.
Don't use Pay. Yeah. Lolly's obviously they're gonna come out with an app. Yeah. They've been teasing it.
One of your favorite topics, liquid support. It's coming to BISC, baby.
Well, so I thought this was like kind of interesting because I don't really see that much value in liquid for myself. Like we've talked about this on the pod earlier, about exchange to exchange and stuff like that. But this is interesting because I did mention last episode, I was like, what I want to see is trust minimized ways to swap between the chains without KYC. So like obviously BISC fits that bill perfectly. It should be interesting to see if BISC like adds stablecoin support through that, because you know one of the biggest hurdles with BISC is the fiat side. So there might be something there in terms of using Tether on Liquid. You know, disclaimer, Tether has all the third-party issues, third-party risk. But there's something there that if you could easily move back and forth from Liquid and Bitcoin, and then you could take advantage, and then there was like a CoinJoin client on Liquid that had confidential, that leveraged confidential transactions, then there could be something there from a privacy point of view for regular Bitcoin users.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seems like Liquid is becoming compatible with more and more wallets, services, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, something we'll be following. Again, I don't have a use case for Liquid right now. I'm not a big trader.
And then the other thing was Tether just released Tether Gold, which I was going to just like bring up at the end in like a riff, but just something to keep in mind. They added, now they have gold in some Swiss bank.
Yeah, gold-backed Tether.
I have no use for that whatsoever. It has third-party risk, like not your gold. I don't know how the saying goes for gold.
Not your vault, not your gold.
Yeah, not your bars, not your gold.
Yeah.
So I don't really see that much value in that. And Tether is could be worth nothing overnight, as is always the case with Tether, even though they keep surviving. So
yeah, it's crazy. We've been talking about them, I think, our whole podcasting career.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This is pretty cool too. I wrote about it in the Ben today. Short Ben today. Your boy did not get much.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah.
One of the shortest Bens ever, probably.
I was hurting this morning. Exchange cold storage analysis was performed by Longhash, and this is cool. They're trying to get a better grasp on the actual exchange volume, and instead of looking at reported numbers from the exchanges, which have historically been gamed. I'm not saying that all exchanges are doing that, but some have in the past.
You have to trust their volume numbers. Yeah. No one can audit those numbers, at least especially for the overseas, like shitcoin exchanges and stuff.
Yeah, so Justin Kai from Longhash basically came out with this piece this morning saying, hey, maybe a better way to look at this exchange volume is to look at their cold storage wallets and see how they grow over time.
Yeah, CoinMetrics has done some good research in this respect too. I mean, I think it's really the only way. And like on a, we'll dive into this as well, but on like on a slightly related note, Binance recently did their burn, and everyone's like trying to extrapolate like how much revenue they made based off of it. And they like changed how they do the burn. But just need to remind all you motherfuckers, like it doesn't matter what they say in the, not only can they change the terms whenever they want, you're completely trusting them that their reported revenue number is the correct number anyway. Like, there's no way to verify that. So they absolutely could be, you know, inflating it at will if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So anyway, with this, Coinbase is the most by fucking far.
They're approaching a million Bitcoin in their cold storage wallets.
And then the next one's like 250K or something, right? Yeah.
And that's what I said in the Ben today. I was like, more people need to learn how to self-custody. Coinbase, I think, with their acquisition of Zappo.
Oh, that's probably why.
It's definitely.
Are they including that?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It might be even more. Because yeah. I know they were around like 800K around before Bcash. And then it dropped like a lot because people withdrew.
To split their keys.
Yeah, well, they withdrew before pre-fork.
Yeah.
So it did drop a decent amount, but now it's back up above where it was before and growing. And you look at it, it looks like just a steady line.
Yeah, it's
pretty. So yeah, that's why I don't think they included Zappo because you don't see like a massive bump.
Yeah. So they have maybe
they probably have million. Even more. Yeah.
Yeah. Not that the accumulation of that many Bitcoin is dangerous for the protocol in the future. It's dangerous for the people on Coinbase. And if Coinbase ever gets in trouble in the future and decides not to give you your Bitcoin, it's a lot of Bitcoin that people won't have access. So I'm not saying they're going to do that. Just saying.
I guess they do have in February, they have a spike. Was February when they did it? No.
Last year? No, I feel like it was.
It was after that, right?
Yeah, I feel like it was in like the summer.
Yeah, I don't think they have it included. What's number two? Number two is, Huobi, because they took all the Plus Token Bitcoin, probably. That Ponzi scheme that happened in China. Or still kind of happening. Maybe not.
They got busted, but
they're still trying to launder.
Yeah, they're still trying to launder those coins, I'm pretty sure.
And then number two is Binance. He's just barely below. They're at like 230-something, 240,000.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're...
Not your keys, not your coins.
Not your keys, not your coins. And somebody commented under the Bent tweet today saying, hey, I've been practicing with Cold Card. I looked at your videos. And I did it successfully, but I still don't feel comfortable. And that's like one thing I want to stress is it takes a lot of practice.
It just takes time and like everything else.
Create wallets, wipe them, recover them, send money to and from. Just do it a bunch of times and get comfortable with it.
Yeah, the wipe and recovery is really important.
Yeah.
Or like get a second wallet so you don't actually wipe your wallet just in case.
Well, wipe it before you send any funds.
Or you just send a little bit, then wipe it.
Yeah. And then.
But if you have a second device, it's really nice because you can just be doing the restore process whenever you freak yourself out future times.
Yeah. But again, practice makes perfect. I've gotten more confident over the years as I've done this stuff more and more.
Definitely don't send them to a Ballet crypto wallet.
Definitely do not do that.
Like, it's Marty, would you rather keep your Bitcoin on Coinbase or Ballet?
Coinbase. I hate to say it.
You said that really quick. Yeah.
Why are all these OGs pumping Ballet?
I don't know, man. Pre-generated keys. Did you read the... I don't even want to give them airtime. But don't use Ballet crypto.
No.
It's this card.
It's basically like a Cassatius coin without Bitcoin on it yet. You don't know how those keys are created. Somebody could easily.
So why don't you tell the freaks what a Cassatius coin is?
So Cassatius coin was in the early days of Bitcoin. A lot of Bitcoiners wanted to have physical Bitcoin. They were actually made of gold and silver
and shit.
Made of gold, and basically the creator of the Cassatius coins produced private keys for the people and then put a sticker over it and loaded them up with Bitcoin
and said he deleted the keys.
Yes. So I think it ranged from like 500 to 50,000 Bitcoin.
There's still a bunch in there.
Yeah.
Malik on Twitter, he like tracks them.
Yeah.
Which is crazy that people still keep money on them. But like, so it is possible that
there's good actors who.
Yeah, because he said he deleted the keys. They haven't been stolen yet. They probably won't be. At this point, I still wouldn't risk it.
It's the same thing
with Ballet. You legitimately have to. You're trusting Bobby Lee, not to steal your coins and not to compromise your privacy. And then on their website they say it is the ultimate in cold storage security. It's like it's impossible for us to steal your coins. Like if they list, maybe I'd be a little bit less upset with it if they listed the trade offs clearly and. Made it obvious instead of just hiding it with all this misleading bullshit and buzzwords and
they're
garbage.
Marketing it like you should carry it around, right?
I don't. Yeah, they have like an app where you like then you scan it with the app to pay with it. It's fucked.
Yeah, beware.
Not a good idea.
Beware.
I'm not sure if I would keep it on Coinbase or that would suck. Either that's like one of those horrible I would not want to do either.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, that's not the only two options we have.
Yeah.
I'd rather keep it on a cold card.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Well, yeah. Then it gets easy.
Yeah.
Definitely Open Dime's like the better version of this. Open Dime was created for physical transactions, and it doesn't pre-generate. Like, Rodolfo and his team over there, they went through all these different iterations to make a product that could handle this without those kind of trade-offs being made, and it exists now. So you can use an Open Dime instead. It doesn't pre-generate your keys. You provide the entropy, additional entropy to it, so you know that they can't.
You're not beholden to the.
They can't figure out your key.
Yeah. Beholden to cold cards. They have an enclave or whatever produces their private key. You can add more entropy and randomness to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if forever, God forbid, their private key generator on the cold card gets.
Well, this is Open Dime I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, both.
Yeah.
It works for both.
Well, I'm not sure if the Open Dime has a secure enclave.
In the Open Dive, you create random entropy with like pictures, right? It's not like a roll of the dice. Like it is.
And also on the cold card, the secure enclave doesn't. Maybe it provides a little bit, part of the randomness, but even if you don't provide your own, it's not the only source of randomness. Yeah. It's the enclave's main purpose on the cold card is to actually hold the key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe the Open Dime has one too. I'm not sure.
Rodolfo,
anyway, look
listening.
Into that. I like the Open Dime.
Yeah, Rodolfo, if you're listening.
We have great Open Dime videos that I put on. So if you gift someone an Open Dime, I have a video specifically for the gift receiver. Hello, congratulations. You've just received some Bitcoin. And I made that because I give out Open Dimes all the time.
TFTC.TV.
And I got tired of explaining it to people.
It is. The Open Dime is such a cool product.
Like, it just looks fucking cool.
Yeah. Square Crypto. They announced a team that Square Crypto amassed, finally announced what they're going to be working on this week. And they're going to be working on a Lightning development kit to make it easy for people building across Lightning network protocols and wallets to interact with each other. Pretty big endeavor, and would be pretty useful, I imagine. I believe they're going to do that in Rust Lightning.
Yeah, Rust Lightning. Their goals here are adding Lightning capabilities to existing Bitcoin wallets. No need for a separate wallet just for Lightning. Supporting multi-device, multi-application access to a single wallet. Allowing wallets to make UX security privacy trade-offs such as external transaction signing and customizing their state backup to a cloud service. So LDK just really is going to help developers out and make it easier to build stuff on Lightning.
Yeah, we got two members of the Square Crypto team coming through tomorrow to come talk about what they're going to build. So they're probably going to make us look stupid.
Oh, awesome.
We will post that on Monday. So Matt Corallo and Valentin.
And sorry, I will be joining for that as well.
Val, I'm missing your last name.
Which I'm pretty excited about. And it's also worth noting, Lightning Labs also has a development kit they call Falafel.
Falafel.
Mess.
I like that.
Kind of a weird name. I like falafels. Falafels are good.
Fried chickpeas, baby.
What's not to like?
Staying on Square. What do we think about this? They released a patent yesterday, Bitcoin related. It looks like they want to allow people to pay in Bitcoin at merchants, and the merchants can convert that into their local currency or currency that they like. The patent came out. Let me read the abstract of it. The present technology provides a payment service for providing financial transactions between customer and merchant, wherein the customer can pay in any currency and the merchant can be paid in any currency. Furthermore, the present technology supports payment using cryptocurrency while improving such transactions in a way that takes advantage of benefits of such transactions, like anonymity, which if it's Bitcoin, that's not like a given.
It does say cryptocurrency.
Yeah. While overcoming drawbacks such as delays in processing. It is a patent. You probably have to be vague.
I hate vague patents.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm just inherently skeptical of all patents.
Yeah.
Especially vague ones like this.
Yeah.
Are they the evil empire? Is it a defensive patent? Hopefully it's just a defensive patent. They don't expect to use it against anyone.
Yeah, are we mouthpieces for an evil empire?
I don't know. I'm going to be critical of them regardless.
I am too.
If they're going to be a sponsor. They've been a sponsor for a while.
Yeah.
I think we've always been pretty good about being critical of them. I mean, we'll see, right? I like I said, I'm inherently skeptical of patents. One saving grace here is that this is involving crypto and fiat. And like, I could give two shits between crypto to fiat.
Yeah. No, I think this is, I think this may have something to do with like,
wow, I can't believe I just said crypto. We'll edit that out. Switch it to Bitcoin.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. Not enough time. I think, I don't know, like, is that, didn't, wasn't Jack mentioning something like he wanted to make it so it was easy to spend Bitcoin in Africa? Isn't that like,
is, well, look, this is what we expected that Square's, well, Cash App's plan would be, right? Square's got like 70%. Penetration in the point of sale. Yeah, the point of, I hate saying POS now. The point of sale market in America, right? So like all those like nice white iPad cash register-esque things you see with the Square logo on them, they have those already. They have Bitcoin support in the app. They could easily enable you to pay Bitcoin at those merchants. And then it comes down to, does the merchant want fiat or does the merchant want Bitcoin? And this patent, I guess, like loosely covers either or situation where you pay in Bitcoin, just automatically gets converted to fiat, which don't love, but it's expected. And then if you pay with Bitcoin, they can just keep the Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Or potentially, maybe he'll make it so you can pay in fiat and the merchant gets Bitcoin if they opt for Bitcoin.
That would be dope.
Yeah. So you can see where that could really help in international markets, especially like some people gave me shit about how I pronounce it. And I'm working on that, but you could see it in those markets because they don't, it might be harder for them to get banking relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But if they use Bitcoin as a rail, that could be the inroad for them.
Yeah. So we'll be following this. Patent release yesterday. We don't know when a product will come out, so we'll be keeping our eyes out there. What else we got here? Light night.
Do you see the map? The map's fucking dope. Have you pre-ordered it yet, Marty?
I have not. I'm not a Freaks. Gamer, dude. I'm not
Go
a gamer.
Pre-order Light Night. Yeah, but do it for the Bitcoin, you know?
Wow, this map looks dope.
Like, Light Night is going to help bring a whole new brew of Bitcoiners in, and sats are going to be their standard.
Yeah, so free freaks it. May have foggy memories about what Light Night is. It is Satoshi's game. Satoshi Games product, correct?
Yes.
And they teased this a few months ago, and it looks like the product is more fleshed out. It's a what's the name? Fortnite-like game.
Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Is what the kids call the genre, Marty.
The Zoomers, man. I'm afraid of them.
So instead of Fortnite, they called it Light Night. And like when you kill people... the in-game currency is all sats
via the Lightning Network.
So just like Fortnite, you can buy skins and stuff for sats. But unlike Fortnite, you can also earn sats by killing people.
And take your sats off, right? Can you like monetize Fortnite V-Bucks like outside of the platform?
No, you can't.
Yeah.
It's very restricted.
Yeah. So it's opening it up.
It's a very centralized shitcoin, those V-Bucks.
When, do they have a release date on this?
But the freaks know that I'm bullish on this shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're a small-ass company. They're great dudes. So if you go pre-order the game for whatever they're charging, I think it's like $20 or something, that goes a long way. They could use that. So help them out.
All right. I'm going to buy it. I'll buy it. Where do I play it? Do I play it on my computer?
Yeah, it's going to be on computer. I think they're going to release it on consoles as well. I think they want to release on mobile as well as that. They're very ambitious.
Yeah.
No promises. We shall see. Yeah. But I'm excited. The map looks dope. And I'm excited to test it out. And I have pre-ordered it.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll send.
If there's a space or something, maybe we can get... they did like a thing where if you pre-ordered it with like Blue Wallet's code, you got like a special Blue Wallet customized gun. It'd be kind of cool if we got a TFTC custom thing going.
How would we do that?
I don't know. I'll reach out to Carlos.
Carlos, if you're listening, that would be dope.
Yeah.
Something that's not dope. It seems like Apple is bending the knee to the FBI, and they're not...
Well, they've been bending the knee.
Yeah, they've been bending the
as
knee.
As expected.
They're not encrypting iCloud backups, so they're essentially backdoored.
Yeah, it's a backdoor. It's basically a backdoor. If you have iCloud backup set, they get all your iMessages, calendars, contacts. Who knows what else they're getting. Supposedly, Signal messages are excluded and not backed up through iCloud, so that's good at least. But these aren't end-to-end encrypted, so the phone is end-to-end encrypted, which the FBI still might be able to get into anyway, especially if you don't have a secure password and you don't have the 10 times set up. But even if they can't get into that, they can get into your iCloud, and you won't know if they get into your iCloud. Like, it's not like they physically need your device. So
yeah,
be aware. Don't use iCloud.
Yeah.
All these corporate clouds, you should assume this, unless you're encrypting it yourself. Google supposedly end-to-end encrypts. That's what drive. It seems like they said.
I don't trust that at all.
No, the device backups.
Oh.
But I don't... they definitely don't end-to-end encrypt the Google Drive. But yeah, who assume that's not the case either.
Yeah, it's... you think Steve Jobs is rolling in his grave right now?
No, not at all. Not about this, at least. But it is fucked up, and it's fucked up that our own government and our and like the corporations by extension that are forced to bend the knee are like the biggest threat to our privacy our freedom.
Yeah, we need strong men at this time. I'm sorry, Tim Cook. I called you a pussy on Twitter earlier this week, but dire times call for strong men, and you bending the knee is not good. You need to stand up for your users, bruh.
We even had General Hayden was defending end-to-end encryption, former head of the NSA.
Yeah, it's huge.
And when you're agreeing with him about privacy, you know we're like in a fucked up situation.
Right. So be aware. Be aware your iClouds can definitely be backdoored.
It's a front door. Yeah, they just have access. Apple can read everything, so they just give it to the FBI.
Yeah. Be aware. Be aware. Let's go to this next. The Clearview app's staying on privacy. And it came out this week that there's a Peter Thiel-backed company that is very much encroaching on people's privacy.
It's a Taiwanese company, right?
I'm not positive where it's domiciled, but it's called the Clearview app, and it's a face recognition app that uses 3 billion plus photos, which is great for millions of public-facing websites and social media sites that basically you can point your phone at somebody and get all their information.
Like the ones you think, like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn, but then also ones you wouldn't necessarily think, like Venmo is a big source for them because people have public profiles and they have the profile picture. So they get like a bunch of profile pictures. They get thousands of pictures from your Instagram and they can generate a pretty good idea of what you look like. And then all someone has to do is upload a picture or take a picture of someone and they give you back all the results and where they pulled them from. So they give you profiles and Venmo. And then if you get their Venmo, you can see their payment history, especially if it's public. If it's private, then you like reach out, you know, the police reach out to FBI. And one of the extra fucked up parts here is this is a private company. No one knows how they're securing this data, if they're securing it well or not. And police basically found an end around to them being restricted from using a lot of this technology because they just pay a subscription fee to Clearview and they're just using the app. They don't need a warrant or anything. And it's actually more effective in a lot of situations than their own search feature.
So crazy.
And every search that the police put in goes to Clearview's server. So Clearview could be watching who the police are searching. And this came to the reporter's attention because the reporter got a couple police officers to talk to her about it and let her play with the app. And they uploaded her picture. And then Clearview reached out to them and was like, are you talking to journalists? Like, you shouldn't be talking to journalists.
So fucking weird.
Yeah, it's fucked, man.
Peter Thiel back. Peter Thielback's that company, Palantir. Is he a good actor? A lot of people like to put him on a pedestal. He's a great thinker, great actor in the 21st century. But the companies he's backing seem pretty Orwellian to me.
I mean, he's also backing Bitcoin mining.
Right. Yeah.
He's just a ruthless motherfucker.
Yeah, Peter, what are you doing in out there, bro?
Palantir's so fucked.
Palantir's very fucked.
This is so fucked. But, I mean, the cat's out of the bag. I don't know how you stop this.
We are face-fucked freaks.
Besides trying to limit the amount of pictures you have of yourself online.
Yeah.
But
that's the best way to go.
It is pretty much far gone for the majority of people. And it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, the Zoomers love putting their lives online.
And there's like surveillance cameras everywhere. And one of the things I was thinking about is one of the biggest issues with the few places where we don't have cameras yet is because of it's difficult to get internet access everywhere. But if you like, as they come out with 5G or whatever, like better wireless internet, we're gonna see it's they're gonna blow up. You're gonna see them even more places.
Yeah, who was on the podcast saying that like in the future you're gonna like pay for privacy, like you know, to live in places where there are no cameras. I think it was
BSG.
Was it? Yeah. I think it was him.
We went down the Citadel hole again.
Yeah.
That you don't believe in Citadels.
I mean...
But my Citadel is going to be a I'm privacy not a fan sanctuary. Of
Citadels. I'm not a fan of Citadels. I don't think we should strive for Citadels. We should strive to uplift everybody.
Look, I completely agree. And when that fails, like, you better have a nice Citadel.
Yeah, that's true. Back to the topic before this. The ECB. Not back to it. We didn't really mention it at all. European Central Bank came out with a paper on their digital... central bank digital currencies and basically talked about how they wouldn't enact negative interest rate policies, helicopter money, and like more scenery.
They just fucking said it.
Yeah.
They just fucking said, these are the benefits of central bank digital currency.
Well, this is something I've been following since last year. The normalization of NERP. The ECB has been one of the strongest proponents of it. Mario Draghi came out before Christine Lagarde took over for him and said negative interest rates are good for the world. They're trying to normalize it. Don't let them. It's an immediate tax on your savings. And
people call this like conspiracy theorists are saying like the war on cash and negative interest rates, and they want to, you know, digitize everything so they can surveil it and control it and go negative and do helicopter money and have more seniorage. Like, that's fucking they
bullshit.
Wrote it. They literally wrote it in this fucking report.
Yeah, and there's no accountability. That's the thing. So this is the theme of this topic and the next couple, accountability. So you have this, because they can't be accountable for their policies, they need to basically cattle herd us into a digital panopticon and immediately tax and erode away our purchasing power via inflation. On top of that, the Federal Reserve came out and we surmise, this is the episode I talked about with Parker, where, and we talked about this last week, that the Fed was going to open up their window, which is supposed to be designated for primary dealers, which are banks and security offerings companies only. They're opening that now to hedge funds, so hedge funds can get direct access to the Fed window, and they're putting this data on their website. Shout out to Tony Stachy, I believe his last name is. He pointed out, like, he went to the Fed's website on there, that... basically lays out their repo purchases, and if you get granular into the primary dealers, there's they name the hedge funds that they're giving money to. So yeah, it seems like the window has been opened for the hedge funds directly. And
yeah, I think we mentioned that last episode too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but no, and it's confirmed. So if you go to the Fed website and you look for the repo markets and you go to FICC, I forget what it stands for, but that is basically the hedge funds getting money in that FICC. Bar of repo operations exploded last week.
It's secret QE.
Yeah. Yeah. $500 billion since September has been printed. And then again, so the Fed has no accountability of their policies. They're not standing to their mandate, which is just to be a lender of last resort to the banks and primary dealers. Now they're a lender of last resort to hedge funds who are margin trading. And then the last topic, I add this to the list, the Pentagon accounting debacle that came out. So the Pentagon, Bloomberg wrote about this yesterday. The Pentagon racked up $35 trillion in accounting changes in 1 year.
It's not really $35 trillion, right?
No, but it's again, going back to accountability. Like, it's the Pentagon is not keeping their books straight. So we're printing all this money to send people to war, and we have no idea where it's going.
They're like off by like 20x almost or something. Right? It was like 2.7 trillion is what it should be.
Yeah, 35 trillion is like twice the size. Like, 35 trillion accounting error is twice the size of the U.S. economy.
It's supposed to be like 2.5 trillion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
their books are just completely
wrong.
These
kleptocratic elites have no accountability. Freaks, wake the fuck up. I know you freaks are woken up because you're listening to this podcast. But go shake your family members. Go shake your friends.
No babies. Don't shake babies.
Definitely don't shake the babies. But like, and don't physically shake people. Just
Definitely not while driving. If you're driving, pull over on the side of the road. Then shake the person next to you.
Tell them to wake the fuck up. There's no accountability throughout the world.
Well, the incentives are all broken, right? There's no oversight. There's no...
Yeah.
No one gets in trouble for it. So of course it's going to get bloated and out of control over time.
35 trillion in accounting changes.
It's pretty fucked up. I had one more thing I wanted to talk about. The Jerusalem Post posted a FUD line about Hamas using Bitcoin.
Yes. Ergo looked into this, right?
Yeah, they, first of all, they used a fixed address, supposedly. And when Ergo looked, I like pinged Ergo to look at the address, and he looked at the address. And they were using the address for change. So even though it said 3,700 received, it's actually like way, way less than that. Maybe like 900 or something, 800.
Yeah.
But we are going to see governments use this line against Bitcoin. That terrorists use it, that criminals use it. And it's the same thing we see with the encryption. Going back to the iPhone, iCloud story, where they use terrorists to then, a few people that are terrorists use the technology and they use it to erode the privacy of the 99% law-abiding citizens that are actually using it as well.
99.99%. And if the governments do come out with that line, troll them. Be like, hey, Hamas is drinking water too. Should we ban that? Should we ban water?
Give them ideas.
The Hamas terrorists are drinking water, freaks.
That's what you need to ban it. You need a citadel to protect your water, Marty.
Ban it.
Oh, the other thing is, you know, from a prepping point of view, like in a pandemic situation, you know, you obviously don't want to be in a big city. That's a major negative.
Yeah, you don't want to be where we are right now.
But like, what are the key things? You need like medical supplies, you know, face masks are good, water and
batteries.
Water purifiers, batteries. But one thing a lot of people don't talk about, which I thought was a pretty cool tip that I picked up like 5 years ago, is that you should also keep bolt cutters in your apartment, because if you have bolt cutters, you have access to any bike you find.
That's a great
point. So in like emergency transportation situation, you just steal someone's bike.
You know what? Push comes to shove and you need to do that. Yes. Right. You steal a bike.
Exactly. It's a good idea.
It's a good tidbit.
Consider that, freaks.
Consider it. It's a good tidbit. I got nothing else to riff on. I'm trying to think of here.
What do you think of Tether Gold? It's like a non-story, right?
I mean, who's going to use it? Why? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe Peter Schiff will use it.
Maybe. Hey, Peter. Do we want to talk about him?
Not really.
Nah. Yeah, fuck that
dude. I shouldn't even brought him up.
Yeah. That's all we got. What should we riff on? Anything?
Bueller? No. I have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, we shouldn't extend this if we don't need to.
Enjoy your weekend, freaks.
We've got an episode dropping with Jeremy Rubin tomorrow. Be on the lookout for that. We talk about POW swap, op check template verify, dev incentives, a bunch of stuff.
I'm super excited for the app we're recording tomorrow as well.
Yeah. We're going to sit down with two members of the Square Crypto team and figure out what they're building. So look out for that on Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, this was something. This guy in did you see this story out of China? A University of Minnesota student was arrested in China and sentenced to 6 months in prison for tweets he posted while he was in the United States.
Yes, I believe he's a Chinese citizen, correct?
Yeah, but he was posting them from the United States.
Yes, so from an Anon account.
Right, so just keep in mind, you Anons out there, I love you guys. Keep your OPSEC tight. Assume that, you know, sophisticated state actors can still figure out who you are, especially if you have like phone number and stuff. They could have just sent him a link and then he clicked the link. Oh, that's what we should talk about.
What?
Fucking the richest man in the world who practically runs the internet.
Bezos.
Allegedly got fished by the Saudi prince, MBS.
And that's how his dick pics got leaked.
Yeah, and then they leaked his affair to the Inquirer.
Mm-hmm. Why are the Saudis going after Bezos?
Because of the Washington Post. This was before Khashoggi got killed,
yes,
too.
Yes.
The Washington Post was being really critical. Also, supposedly, Bezos was working on a server deal to put servers in Saudi, and it fell through. So if they attacked Bezos, like, I wonder who else they attacked. This was with that WhatsApp exploit that we heard about with the videos.
He sent a video, and he clicked it, and they...
Do you get the whole contents of the phone, like all the media and everything?
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they got access to anything else, right? Like, Bezos had, you know, if all the damage was that his affair got leaked.
Yeah, they got his dick pics, eh?
And I wonder if they blackmailed other people. Because they didn't even bother blackmailing him. They just fucked up his life.
They cut his net worth in half.
It's, you know, even Bezos, he's still the richest man in the world, though.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Even Bezos can get tricked. So, you know, stay humble out there. Keep your head on the swivel. And don't have affairs. But if you do have an affair, like, use a burner phone.
Don't have an affair. Stay true to your wife. Find a girl that you love.
Absolutely.
Build a family. Be a good person.
But if you do, use a burner phone.
Yes. You know what I mean? If you're going to be a scumbag, do it the right way.
And, like, I guess if you're talking to the Saudi prince, like, you should also use a burner phone. I wonder if, like, what we'll see come out of Bezos because of this. Like, it'd be kind of cool if
he
I wouldn't trust
Cypherpunk.
It. Right, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trust it, but it'd be cool if, like, Amazon came out with, like, a super privacy-focused... I mean, they're never going to do that, but, like, a super privacy-focused phone.
Who knows? Maybe he had to come to Jesus moment after this.
They had that shitty phone. Do you remember that shitty Fire phone? It had, like, six different cameras on it. It was, no. Like, the exact opposite of privacy-focused.
Yeah. I mean, Alexa's not.
It's horrible.
Don't get Alexa. Get that Google Home. Get all that shit out of your house. Get Ring out of your house. Get all that shit out of your house, freaks.
I bet you they got other people. They must have hacked a bunch of people.
They had to. Like,
and it was pretty ballsy. If this is true... The most unrealistic part of the whole thing is, so, like, him and the prince met and they exchanged numbers and they were in a WhatsApp conversation together. And then from the prince's phone, like, from that account, the video was sent. Like, that's ballsy as fuck.
Right.
To just send the attack from his phone.
That's like a, hey, I don't fucking care.
It wasn't like a random email or something like that, or like, hey, random WhatsApp message with, like, someone else.
It's like, hey, Jeff, look at this guy. Look at this funny meme.
I wonder what he said the video was.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
Yeah, so be aware. Jeff Bezos can get hacked. You probably can too.
It wasn't like he got fished, but yeah.
Yeah, he got fished hard by somebody he trusted, I would imagine.
WhatsApp is probably like on the amount of phones WhatsApp is installed, it's probably like one of the biggest vulnerabilities. Just the app itself is like one of the biggest cumulative vulnerabilities worldwide.
Yeah, because the WhatsApp creators, after selling to Facebook and leaving, basically came out and said Facebook demanded that they backdoor it, and completely backdoored.
No, I think it was like data collection and stuff, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, metadata and stuff like that.
The NN encryption is not as advertised, I believe.
I think it was like the messages are end-to-end encrypted, but they collect all the metadata around it. So you communicated with this person at this time doing this and that.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, they should have known that. Like, when they signed the deal with Facebook, they promised everyone, they're like, don't worry, they're never going to change the business model and stuff. Like, of course Facebook's going to fucking, you know, they're the evil empire.
Yeah.
But, like, think about it. Like, WhatsApp, like, has... For a lot of people, it has location permissions, microphone permissions, camera permissions, full photos and videos and, you know, gallery access and file access to all of your documents and stuff. It's like the ultimate piece of fucking spyware if it wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Goddamn. We got a lot of work to do, freaks.
I fucking hate that.
This is why
I still have to use WhatsApp.
This is why we Bitcoin. Bitcoin creates incentives to fix these systems. Because these systems are, at the end of the day, are going to be protecting Bitcoin if you have self-custody.
This is why free open source software is so fucking important.
Right. Well, that's actually maybe something else we should mention. We talk a lot about VPNs here, and I saw that conversation about VPNs we were having. It seems like Proton VPN just open source there.
Yeah, but I don't like Proton because Proton does like a light KYC on you to use their mail and their VPN.
Okay.
My favorite is Mulvad.
Yeah, I like Mulvad too. That's what I'm using.
Mulvad, you don't even need to provide an email address. You just pay them with Bitcoin. They give you a little account number and you're good to go.
Yeah, you get a token number. You plug that in.
Yeah, so you like Whirlpool some funds and you just pay them. And I think they're going to add Lightning soon. So I like Mulvad. But once again, keep in mind that you are trusting your VPN provider. Like, important, like,
caveat.
Important stuff, you should be using Tails with Tor. Or at least just Tor browser on your computer.
Yeah. All right. That was a good one. I had a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it. As usual, I would always fucking love RHR. RHR is my favorite.
Mine too. Yeah. Be aware for that. Be aware. Check out the Jeremy Rubin episode dropping tomorrow. Again, we're talking with the Square Crypto team tomorrow as well. and enjoy your weekends. You know, enjoy life. We only got one. You only got one life. We talk a lot about a lot of stressful stuff on this podcast, but you know what? Smile every once in a while.
Fucking enjoy it, freaks.
Yeah.
Life's fucking short. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love.